Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. This is how Simeon begins his canticle, the third and final canticle of our Advent series. The Nunc Dimittis, we call it in our liturgy, which is short for now let depart. Of course, what Simeon actually says is a little less sanitized. Master, let your slave go free in peace. As we endure a plague of idiot pastors who teach us to view God casually, Simeon is a breath of fresh air. He would call God his master, and himself he would call God's slave. This reverence comes not from Simeon himself, but from the Holy Spirit. In connection with Simeon and his canticle, Luke mentions the Holy Spirit not less than three times. The Holy Spirit was upon Simeon. The Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon that he would see the Christ before he saw death. The Holy Spirit led Simeon into the temple the day that Mary and Joseph brought Jesus. What Simeon knows about the little Savior in his arms, he knows only because of the Holy Spirit. Paul will later write that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Imagine if you were to take one of the newborns in our congregation up in your arms and say, "Here he is. Here is the Lord's Messiah. This is God in human flesh. I am holding the creator of the universe in my arms." That's close to what Simeon did. To his eyes, that little Jewish baby would have looked no different than any other. Contrary to artist depictions, there was no glowing halo around the Christ child's head. He had no unique beauty or majesty that would make you look and say, "He's obviously the Christ." In other words, he looked like any other little baby. Simeon sang this marvelous theology while holding a squirming, crying, pooping baby in his arms. And he called him the Lord's Messiah. It was no small statement of faith. With his eyes, he saw nothing but a little human being and nothing more. It was a miracle worked by the Holy Spirit that Simeon knew Mary's infant was the Lord Christ. Here's the key. Simeon listened to his ears instead of his eyes. It's no less of a miracle worked by the Holy Spirit that you recognize the Lord Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, that you use your ears instead of your eyes and believe God's word. The same Holy Spirit who is at work in Simeon all those years ago is at work in you today. In this way, the Holy Spirit makes Simeon's song your own. That we recognize this Jesus to be the Lord's Messiah means that we too have the Holy Spirit upon us. We too have the revelation of the Spirit. We too have been led by the Spirit to Jesus. That's what the Spirit did then, and that's what the Spirit does now. He leads us always and ever to Jesus. We can't be shy about this. We've been drawn by the Holy Spirit into the Christmas story. But it's no story at all, it's history. The angel announcing to Mary that Jesus would be born to her, the census that led Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, the angels proclaiming the gospel to the shepherds, these things happened in this world. They are facts. And the same Holy Spirit in those days is the same Holy Spirit now. We have no other Jesus and no other faith. For there is one Spirit, the Scriptures say, and you are called to one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. What is amazing about Simeon's song is that Simeon not only knows who Jesus is, he also knows what Jesus has come to do. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. In fact, Simeon seems to know something of how this salvation will come about. We heard, as he said to Mary, that her child is destined for the fall and rising of many, for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, he says to Mary. Only later will we see that Simeon's words are fulfilled by the cross. God has come and has given himself into the hands of his enemies. God has come as a little child to be rejected by men, to be killed by mankind, so that what we meant for his evil, he will use for our good. Mary's child is not just called Emmanuel, God with us. He is called Jesus, for he shall save the people from their sins. The Son of God does not descend from heaven and become incarnate in human flesh because the human race makes for such great dinner company. He is God with us so that he might be God for us. The little child has come to have his blood shed by us. That we must have a Savior is not in itself very good news. That we must have a Savior tells us one thing: we cannot save ourselves. Paul says it this way: there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. Well, Paul, what about the pious pagan living in Africa? There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one, answers St. Paul. And what the law says, the law also says to you, so that your mouth might be stopped. Do you think that your will, that your mind, that your heart have been hidden from God? Do you think that God doesn't know the secret desires of your heart? That you have coveted what others have? That you have been discontent with what God has given you? Do you know that God knows your innermost thoughts? How you've set your mind on what pleases you instead of on what pleases him? How you've used your mind to rehearse grudges and cover up lies? Can you hide from God the perversions of your will? That you've given yourself permission time and again to lust? That you've willed evil against others? Or at least that they'd get what they deserve? Can you hide that you've put yourself above your family members, above your spouse, set yourself above and against the very ones whom you are supposed to love? No greater truth has been penned. The law of God shuts every human mouth so that each one of us would hide our heads in our hands in utter shame. If you know that you are a sinner, if you know that you have no hope but grace. Then Simeon has good news for you. The little boy in his arms is God's salvation. He is grace and he is truth incarnate. As we will sing later tonight, he is the infant priest. The offering he will offer to God for you is nothing less than his own holy flesh and holy blood. His high altar is not made of gold, but of wood. On the cross, he offers himself in your place. And now when the Creator looks at you, his creation, he says once more, "It is good." His altar is his cross, his priestly throne, his manger. He has come to be humbled, to be hated, to be tortured, to be put to death. He has come to do whatever it takes to save you, and save you he has. He is, as Simeon says, God's salvation. Held by Simeon's sinful hands, he is Simeon's Savior. And this is the miracle, that he puts himself into your hands as well, for he is also your Savior. When does the Savior of the world, when does Jesus Christ put himself, flesh and blood, into your outstretched hands? When he gives into your very hands the bread that is his body and the wine that is his blood. You are no different than Simeon. Led by the Holy Spirit, the ancient church realized that we are no different than Simeon. For into the hands of sinners, into your hands and mine, the Lord Jesus gives himself. There is no better song to sing after Holy Communion than Simeon's song. After the Lord cradles himself in our hands and in our lips, we too sing, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel." We may depart from the Lord's table in peace, a peace not at all like the world gives, a peace that passes understanding, the peace that can come only from Jesus himself, when he gives himself into your hands and says, "For you, for the forgiveness of your sins." The very body and blood that he gives into death on the cross, he gives to you. He is the firstborn and the unblemished lamb, our Passover lamb, the scriptures say. He is slain for you and eaten by you. His blood now paints the doorway of your body, and the angel of death passes over you. For the life is in the blood. His life is in you. St. Paul says that every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Every time we have the Lord's Supper, Christ crucified is proclaimed in our midst. Not only for us to see, but as Simeon says, before the face of all people. To this very day, the light himself is in our midst, enlightening we who are Gentiles. To this very day, we have in our midst the glory of thy people, Israel. How many have been given eyes to see the salvation that you and Simeon have been given to see? Give thanks to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and take in this final thought. The Spirit told Simeon that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. When Simeon does see him, his first words are,
Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. What Simeon is saying is this: it's now okay for me to die. It's okay for me to die, for I have seen the Lord's salvation. The very same is true for us. Because of Christmas, it's safe for us to die. It's safe for you to die, for His name is Jesus, and He has saved you from your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.